Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my pleasure to serve this reflective and joyful congregation. I use the pronouns she and her. Each and every one of you is welcome here. You're welcome here if you're in the sanctuary. You're welcome here if you are watching this service from home. You're welcome here if you're watching this service as a recorded service later in the week. Everyone is welcome here, no matter who you love, no matter your background, no matter what you've done that you regret. However you're feeling today, you are each, every one of you, a beloved child of the universe, and you are welcome here. If you are in the sanctuary, we really ask you that you put your phones on airplane mode. That really helps with the live streaming so that people at home get a better stream. If you're here, we're not singing out loud, but we are humming. So we do ask you to stand and hum. If you are at home, we say stand up and sing loud. Singing is fun. There is an online coffee hour after the service. It came in your order of the service this morning, the link to that, and there's a lovely group of people who meet every Sunday, and you're welcome to join them. If you're here, you're welcome to visit both inside and outside. If you are inside, we do ask that you distance. We are not serving coffee at this time because we want everyone to keep their masks on. So if you're new here today, if you're new online, you can contact our administrator, and her name is in the order of service. It's also on our website, and you can get in touch with her there. If you're here, there's little visitor cards in the back of your seats that you can fill out, or you can get them in the foyer after the service, and we can get information and make sure that you're on our email list. I would just like to remind everyone that we are having Christmas Eve services on Friday at 5 p.m. And we would love to have pictures of all of you with your candles. So when we sing Silent Night, we can do a video Silent Night and see everybody holding their Christmas Eve candles. You can get Christmas Eve candles in the holiday baskets, which if you're here, you can get them after the service. If you're not here, they're in between, in the cabinets, in between fireside and the minister's. So just grab one. You can get a candle, take a picture of yourself, and send it to Caleb. And those directions are in the e-blast. So we will start with our chalice lighting. It is from the Reverend Sharon Wiley. In honor of the ancient traditions that celebrate this time of the longest night, we observe that the flaming chalice holds the elements of all four of the directions, earth, air, fire, and water. The candle for the earth, the air that feeds the flame, the fire we light, and the chalice itself, the cup, the symbol of water. We light our chalice and reflect on the light we need to guide us through hard times, the light of our shared faith, the light of loving community, the light of love, joy, and hope.
This is Winter Solstice by Rebecca Parker. Perhaps for a moment, the typewriters will stop clicking, the wheels stop rolling, the computers desist from computing, and a hush will fall over the city. For an instant, in the stillness, the chiming of the celestial spheres will be heard as Earth hangs poised in the crystalline darkness and then gracefully tilts. Let there be a season when holiness is heard and the splendor of living is revealed, stunned to stillness by the beauty, we remember who we are and why we are here. There are inexplicable mysteries. We are not alone. In the universe, there moves a wild one whose gestures after Earth's axis toward love. In the immense darkness, Everything spins with joy. The cosmos unfolds us. We are caught in the web of stars, cradled in a swaying embrace, rocked by the holy night. Babes of the universe, let this be the time we wake to life, like spring wakes in the moment of winter solstice.
We have entered the time of the longest night. It is dark, much of our waking hours. We may yearn for light, but the darkness is also a blessing. It is good to make friends with the dark. Let us enter into a meditation on darkness by Stephanie Noble. Do not be afraid of the darkness. Dark is the rich, fertile earth that cradles the seed, nourishing growth. Dark is the soft night that cradles us to rest. Only in darkness can stars shine across the vastness of space. Only in darkness is the moon's dance so clear. There is a mystery woven in the dark, quiet hours. There is magic in the darkness. Do not be afraid. We are born of this magic. It fills our dreams that root, unravel, and reweave themselves in the shelter of the deep, dark night. The dark has its own hue, its own resonance, its own breath. It fills our soul, not with despair, but with promise. Dark is the gestation of our deep and knowing self. Dark is the cave where we rest and renew our soul. We are born of the darkness. And each night we return to the deep, moist womb of our beginnings. Do not be afraid of the darkness, for in the depth of that very darkness comes a first glimpse of our own light, the pure inner light of love and knowing. As it glows and grows, the darkness recedes. As we shed our light, we shed our fear and revel in the wonder of all that is revealed. So do not rush the coming of the sun. Do not crave the lengthening of the day. Celebrate the darkness. Here and now, a time of richness, a time of joy. So let us close our eyes for a moment, and let us just spend some time in the quiet, soft deliciousness of dark, maybe about 30 seconds.
Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us.
Amaterasu. This story is from the most ancient book in all of Japan. It's called the Kojiki. And the Kojiki is foundational to the beginnings of Shinto religion. Amaterasu was a kind and gentle goddess. But she had a brother, Susanu, who was god of the sea, and he was known to often be violent and full of temper. Lately, at the beginning of this story, he was grieving the loss of his mother, and so was much angrier than usual. And he began causing great floods that washed through the canals that watered the people's crops, ruining everything. The gods and goddesses got very, very angry with him, and they banished him from heaven. Well, that made him angrier and sadder than ever. And so he went and he pleaded with his sister, the kind Amaterasu. "Oh, please let me come back into heaven," he asked her. Well, being as kind as she was, she granted his request. But he was still angry. And his anger began to lash out at his sister. Everyone treated her with such love and respect. Love and respect they did not show him. He began to play mean pranks on her. And one day, he lashed out and attacked her as she sat at the loom with her maidens. She was horribly frightened, and she ran. She ran from the palace. She ran from heaven. She ran across the forest and up into the mountains, where she found a dark cave. And she climbed into that cave, and she pulled across it a huge boulder, and she sealed it with magic. And the entire world fell into darkness. Time passed, and the plants began to wither, and they began to die. Animals began to starve. The people were in terrible despair and hungry. Frantic, all the other gods and goddesses found Amaterasu, and they went to the cave. They called to her. They pounded on the boulder. "Please come out," they begged of her. "Please return." But she wouldn't even answer them. Then they began to hammer on the boulder. They began to use axes and picks. They shoved and tried to move it, but they couldn't chip it. They couldn't budge it. They needed an entirely new kind of plan. It was the goddess of laughter, Yumezume, who came up with a plan. The first thing they did was there was this beautiful, beautiful evergreen tree right in front of the cave door, and they decorated it with white and blue beads till it was shiny and glittered. And then they got this most magnificent mirror, a huge mirror that was ornate and filled with jewels and just stunning. And they set it in front of the evergreen tree right in front of the cave door. And then Yuzume asked the roosters to begin to crow, and she asked the one-eyed smith to hammer on a nail into the rock over and over, a repeated rhythm. And that was the first music. And then she began to move her body to the rhythm of that music, and she began to dance the first dance. The other gods and goddesses laughed and cheered. It was such a joyful and wonderful sight. And then they couldn't help themselves, but they began to dance as well. Amaterasu really wanted to know what was going on. And so she broke her vow of silence. "What's going on there, out there?" she asked. The plan was working. "Oh," said one of the goddesses, "we are celebrating a goddess more powerful and wonderful than you, who will soon be joining us." Amaterasu was pretty stunned by this, but she was also intrigued. She just pushed the boulders back just the tiniest crack so she could peer out. The gods and goddesses rushed and moved the mirror right in front of the crack. And so what Amaterasu saw was this beautiful golden reflection. She was intrigued. She pushed the boulder just a little bit further and peered through. How beautiful, she said. For she saw the most amazing goddess she could have ever imagined, glowing bright back toward her. She was mesmerized. She pushed the boulder even further and walked out of the cave. As quick as that, the other gods and goddesses rushed behind her, shoved the boulder back in front of the cave, and sealed it shut with their magic so she couldn't get back in. But Amaterasu had understood the trick by this point, and she laughed. She was so happy to be with her family and with her friends that she too began to dance to the new music. And her light lit up the world as it had never been lit before, shining light and joy everywhere. And thus, joy called out the light.
It is now time for our offering, and today is a split the basket. Wolf has a fine tradition of addressing various areas of injustice in our society. And now we have a chance to help another racial justice nonprofit, and that is 350 PDX. 350 PDX is a climate change organization that believes that the detrimental effects of climate change are culturally and politically determined. And in order to fully address the climate crisis, we must address racial and other forms of injustice, especially for those that live on the front lines of heat islands, air, water, soil, pollutions rising, sea levels, wildfires, intensified storms, and so on. 350 PDX holds that climate justice campaign can only be successful if they address racial oppression and white supremacy. 350 PDX is Stop the Zenith Oil Terminal campaign, led to the city of Portland denying Zenith Petroleum's land and permit. 350 PDX also developed frontline collaboration that led to the passage of the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity, which directly will benefit those most impacted by capitalism-related climate change. Each of us brings joy to our community. We bring our spirit, our perspectives, our love, and our care. A congregation would not be whole without each of us and the variety of contributions we each make. We will now gratefully receive this morning's offering, which will be called it been collected in the entryway as you leave the service. Thank you.
I love the story of the Japanese sun goddess, Amaterasu. I love that she is coaxed from the cave by joy and pleasure, not by pleading or convincing her of her duty or by brute force. Amaterasu opened the cave because everyone was having fun, and she wanted to know what was happening. She wanted to be part of it. She left the cave because she was delighted by the presence of a beautiful goddess, who it turned out was herself. She came out of the cave because she experienced her own power and worth. We don't know what Amaterasu did inside that dark cave with only herself. I like to imagine she honored the dark. Did she feel her feelings, even when they felt ugly and uncomfortable? Did she rest? Did she dream? Did she grow? It seems likely all these things happened. She fled into the dark cave in fear, but she came out to joy and the experience of her own beauty. She was transformed in that dark cave from feeling terrible to having the capacity to laugh and wonder with joy at her own being. I don't know the mechanism that transforms people in the dark, in times of rest or dreams or in pain or suffering. However, this is a story from mythologies all around the world. A god or goddess or a hero enters the dark cave or the underworld or the empty blank desert and returns with more capacity to love and share their gifts. That this change is possible by embracing the dark is something that we all have to take on faith. It is not a matter of scientific study. I mean, what study could you really do? A person cried on and off for months after the loss of a loved one, and one day was able to laugh more deeply and appreciate their resilience and strength and good luck to be alive. How do you design a study for that and make any meaningful measurements for this process that happens so uniquely within each person? Spiritual teachers throughout the millennia and psychologists in recent decades have shared this. We must let the negative and painful wash through us before we can experience life fully in the present. If we hold on to what is challenging and painful, it just settles in our minds and in our bodies, making life less joyful, eroding our image of ourselves. We can't run from it because it catches us. We know at first Amaterasu huddled in fear inside that cave. Maybe she raged, too. Maybe she slept. Maybe she prayed and meditated. Maybe she listened to her breath or attended to the tiny creatures that lived inside the cave. We know she stayed in the dark alone for quite some time, and that time changed her. She was able to leave the cave when given a hand by those who loved her. She laughed and danced and experienced her tremendous beauty and power. And I hope this for all of us, that we can let the darkness of the winter days and nights, the endlessness of COVID, the difficult times in our country, our own pain and struggles, come into us and then through us. Feeling and then releasing. May me snuggle down and rest, reflect, and enjoy what goodness the darkness brings. May the day come when we are ready to leave the cave and walk into laughter and music and dancing and the recognition of our own amazing beauty and power and how it lights up the world.
Please join us in the Solstice Litany. After each line that I read, please call out, "The light is reborn." In the greatest darkness, the light is reborn. Out of the winter's cold, from our deepest fears, when we most despair, when all seems lost, when the earth lies waste, when animals hide, when the leaves are gone, when the river is frozen, when the ground is hard, shadows are fleeing, light is returning, warmth will come again. Summer will be here once more. Plants will grow again. Animals will be seen once more. Green will come again. Life will continue.
Hello, everyone. Each year, it is the tradition at WOOF that our chorister group presents an all-winter music service. And this year is, we are very happy to be able to do it again. Last year looked different than other years as we were all virtual, each chorister member from their home recording their music and then various folks combining those tracks together in doing audio recordings and then virtual choir videos. This year, things have gotten a little easier. We're back in person, which is very exciting after starting the year outdoors. And we are really glad in October to be able to get approval from the board to come indoors and with safe practices, wearing masks, standing apart with good social distancing, being very careful in our rehearsals, and so we can make music live together again. So what you'll see is our chorister group all together here in the sanctuary. We recorded this just a few days ago on Thursday. I just want to say this group is so courageous and persistent and flexible through this time, and I'm so proud of the fact that they've stuck together and continued to make music for this congregation. I also want to acknowledge our AV team. Even though things have gotten a little easier, there still are technical challenges, and so our fantastic group back there, Rick Tangeman and Caleb Bride and Jim Leonard, and then doing our sound recording, Dave Haupt from our own chorister group set up a whole bunch of microphones in here and set the levels just right and took it home and mixed it together and helped create this recording that you'll be able to see. And yay! I know. Thank you. And now into the piece. This is a setting of five songs that will take you through the journey of a winter's day. And it's set for choir, piano, and cello. And so one of the other acknowledgments I want to be sure to make is our very own Kira Magaril from our church community, who's been doing all kinds of creative musical stuff, has been able to apply her impressive cello talents to this piece, and you'll get to see. And I always need to mention Ben Milstein, who's my co-collaborator and amazing pianist who supports our group so well. So a couple notes from the composer. Sarah Cortell is a Canadian composer, And she states that this piece was inspired by her tremendous affection for the snowy and icy winters in Ontario. We begin with a timid star in the dark stillness before dawn, where a shy white star shivers as it shines on frozen fields below. In a winter dawn, color floods the sky and a triumphant sunrise rings through the music. The third movement, Into Morning, takes me back to exciting childhood days out in the land in knee-deep snow, or outings with treasured family members, where a great dark horse would pull our sleigh through the nearby woods. The tang of frost in the fourth movement, A Winter Day, would leave us refreshed and laughing. As the work comes to a close, so does the day. Stillness returns and falling snow covers any evidence of the day's activity. The sky returns to darkness once more. So we present to you A Winter Day.
The light comes rising in us, bringing laughter and courage and joy. And the light flows away like the falling night, soft and still, then rises and falls and rises and falls. And now we celebrate its rising. We celebrate the return of the light. From the Reverend Lynn Unger. Call it spare time, dark afternoons or mornings, and the bones of trees rattling against the sky. We could use more hope or reason for hope. The sea is rising, and bombs are planted in the marketplace. It might be better just to go to bed. It might be better to turn out the light and wait for the end to come. The only other choice is to dance. That and to sing the sturdy songs that have held up across winters. Drink wine, the deep red of blood that has not been shed. Feast. Tell tales of heroes who strode or stumbled through their own bleak times. When in doubt, revel in the darkness. Each act of celebration is a spark gathered together. They bring back the sun. Let us carry the light of that flame in our hearts wherever we go.